Most fundamentally, and what matters to us, is that Russia's attack on Ukraine has undermined the global order, the basic rules and norms for countries, big and small, to interact properly with one another. And that means not invading somebody else, claiming to put right historical errors and crazy decisions, because that is a flagrant violation of the United Nations Charter. And it's bad for every country, but especially for small states like Singapore. Our security, our very existence, depends on the international rule of law. And that's why Singapore has taken a strong stand, condemned the attack, and imposed sanctions against Russia. Beyond our security, these international tensions will affect Singapore in many ways. The ongoing conflict has made it extremely difficult, if not impossible, for countries to pursue win-win cooperation, whether at the UN or the G20 or at APEC. In particular, it will further complicate US-China relations, which were already strained. And in the Asia-Pacific, where we live, jostling between the US and China will result in a less stable region. It will become harder for countries to remain friends with both powers. And globally, countries will be unable to make progress on the many complex and urgent problems affecting all of us, including Singapore. For example, pandemics and climate change. These are global problems. No single country can deal with them alone. But if countries are fighting with one another, there's no hope of them cooperating with each other to solve such problems. To us, one global cooperation framework is particularly crucial, and that is the multilateral trading system. Already before the war, countries were restricting trade and investments with other countries that they no longer trusted. And with COVID, there was further disruption to global supply chains, and the vulnerabilities of these supply chains were exposed. And countries started talking about reshoring supply chains to boost self-sufficiency, or friendshoring to work only with trusted friends and allies. Now, with the war in Ukraine, these trends are going to be pushed even further. But it's bad for us because Singapore's economy depends heavily on international trade and investment. And if countries no longer accept the rules of free trade, that makes it harder for us to continue to attract investments, to expand our export markets, to grow our economy, to earn our keep in the world. More immediately, Singaporeans are already feeling the impact of the war on the cost of living. This is a problem all over the world, not just in Singapore. The French have recently held presidential elections, and the cost of living was the hottest issue, hotter even than immigration. Even the US, which is a net energy exporter, is experiencing the highest inflation it's seen in 40 years. Even before Ukraine, inflation was already a problem, but the war has made it worse. Russia is a major exporter of oil and gas, and now that supply is being disrupted. European countries are trying to stop buying energy from Russia, and Russia is also cutting off supplies to punish European countries for supporting Ukraine. And that's causing a worldwide energy crunch. And that's why our electricity and petrol prices have gone up sharply. And food prices have gone up too. Ukraine is among the world's largest exporters of cereal crops, like wheat, maize, barley, vegetable oils. And because of the war, the Ukrainian farmers are running short of seed or fertilizers, even fuel for their tractors. That's assuming they can even tend their fields and farm at all. and this has disrupted global food supplies and pushed food prices up, which is why our bread prices have gone up in Singapore, for example. The government is doing all it can to cushion the impact on Singaporeans and alleviate the cost of living pressures. This year's budget included a household support package, which contained many direct measures to help households. There are USAVE rebates, there are CDC vouchers, there are SNCC rebates. These will reduce the out-of-pocket expenses for nearly all households. And lower and middle-income households who need more help will get more. MAS has tightened our monetary policy to reduce imported inflation. That's why the Singapore dollar has appreciated. And that's why when you go overseas shopping for weekend trips, you find that it's attractive because the Singapore dollar has gone up. FairPrice is also making special efforts. I see they're having eggs at a discount so as to make a difference to the cost of living. And we are taking steps to secure our food and energy supplies just in case the supplies are disrupted by the ongoing war. All this will help, but we must be prepared for more economic challenges in the year ahead. Inflation will remain high. Central banks in the developed countries are tightening their monetary policies, raising interest rates. Global growth will be weaker, and there may be a recession within the next 2 years. We have to face up to these realities. Singapore is tightly integrated into the global economy. Given our small size, in world markets, we're always a price taker. We have very little bargaining power. If the prices go up, our prices go up. If supplies are short, we are squeezed. We cannot avoid these global headwinds. Take energy, for example. We import nearly all the energy we use, except for the solar electricity that we generate ourselves, HDB rooftops and other buildings, but that's maybe 5% of our energy electricity consumption at most. When oil prices were around $50 a barrel, every year our annual imports of crude oil and natural gas cost us about $30 billion. When the oil prices double, $50 to $100 US, which they have done since the beginning of last year, we have to pay double too, which means we all have to pay an extra 30 billion Singapore dollars a year for our crude oil and gas. We can recover part of this because some of it is transformed. We refine the oil, we make petrochemicals, we sell it overseas, we charge more. But the rest we consume, we turn on the lights, we turn on the aircon, we drive our cars, we have to bear that cost. Singapore households, businesses, and the government. How much is that part which we have to swallow? MTI's estimate is, our hit is about 8 billion Singapore dollars a year. That's 1.5% of our GDP. And that means that in Singapore, we have become collectively $8 billion poorer off every year. And there's no escape from this. In the short term, government support schemes will help to share the burden fairly and ease the hardship on households. But in the long term, this doesn't really solve the problem. We can share the burden, but the burden is still upon us. And we must address the fundamental issue, which is that higher energy and food prices have made us collectively worse off. And the fundamental solution to this is to make ourselves more productive, to transform our businesses, to grow our economy, to uplift everyone. Then our incomes can go up, and that can more than make up for higher prices of energy and food. Then we can all become better off in real terms. There are limits to what Singapore can do to influence broader international trends. We will push back against deglobalization. We will speak up to encourage the US and China to constructively engage each other. But ultimately, all these matters depend on the major powers themselves and the relations between them and how the war in Ukraine unfolds. We have speaking rights, but we are a small voice. Singapore has to take the world as it is and develop a strategy that works for us in this troubled environment. Bigger countries can turn inwards, they can rely more heavily on their domestic markets and produce more things onshore. The Chinese talk about double circulation, shuang xunhuan, circulation within the country, circulation doing business overseas. We only have the overseas part, but they can do it because it will cost them economically, but it's a viable strategy for them. However, that's not a choice open to Singapore. Our strategy can only be one, and that is to stay open, to make our economy stronger, more resilient, and keep on seizing opportunities for growth, developing new capabilities, and becoming a more competitive economy. Because if we do that, then despite the uncertain climate, despite the pressures against globalization, investors will still find it worthwhile to put their projects in Singapore, our exports will still find foreign markets, and we can still earn a living for ourselves in the world. But economic success alone is not enough. Our growth must be matched by social and political cohesion. There's war in Europe, there are major troubles in the world, and great power rivalry in our region. Facing all these external troubles, if Singaporeans are not strong and united, if we allow ourselves to be split and divided, we will be done for.